1 Samuel. I'd like to read one verse for sake of time of your standing. Then I'd like to share a few thoughts out of 1 Samuel 17. We've been preaching since right after Christmas through a series in Bible questions. One rose up in my heart this week out of the Scripture. And I'd like to read it, found in 1 Samuel 17. It's about David and the giant Goliath. I want to read verse number 29 today. The Bible said, and David said, "What have I now done?" And here's the phrase, "Is there not a cause?" You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for the time together today. And we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, if there's ever been a cause in the hour, a cause to preach and pray, and God, to participate at Your house, it is this hour. I thank You that we have the Word of God that can challenge us and direct us in our lives. I pray now You let preaching be easy a few moments. I pray that You'd do that of what only the Spirit of God can do today. Thank You for these people. Thank You for the opportunity to preach the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen and amen. I'd like to say this before I get into my message. You all pray for a young family. Eighth grader was tragically killed last night in a car wreck. One of Brother Braden's young friends there in Carrollton. And you pray for them in the Carrollton area. I know that those parents desire our prayers. Eighth graders, you know what that ought to tell you? What it tells me, we don't know that we'll be here tomorrow. Mom and daddies, I'd love to tell you that you could live a long life, but the Bible says one thing for sure, we're all going to meet God, and we must be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. What God done for us at Calvary, His Son shed His blood for all of us, and so He paid the sin debt for you and I. And now the only way that anybody can get to God, that can make it to heaven, is to trust Christ. For He is the way, the truth, and the life this morning. And I want to remind you of that. Life is so uncertain, but eternity is certain. So be prepared to meet our God. David said now in this phrase, "Is there not a cause?" There's a lot of things that bring us up to this verse. We all know the story. It's concerning that of the great Philistine, and they called him simply Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:4. He was a great stature of a man. He was a giant. And can I tell you that giants were just not in the days of old, but giants live in this day and this hour. There are many giants of addictions that promote their self throughout our culture, throughout our generations. I've never seen people that is so shackled and bogged down in that of great addictions. And so the giant of addiction is very real today. There are also many giants, not only of no doubt addictions, but there are great giants of distractions. My goodness, we live in a culture where it seems that the whole society has got distracted by the things of the world. God does not want us as His people to be distracted, but He wants us to be attracted unto Him, giving Him all the honor and the glory in our life. And so here David, he's a young man, but something has happened to David. And it's the main heart of my message today in the fall. Just giving you a little background. David sat under King Saul. Saul and became king over the nation of Israel. And God was pleased with Saul. The Bible said that Saul pleased God until he was greatly helped. And then he thought that he was doing something. He thought that he held all the cards. He thought he had all the power. And he disobeyed and sinned against God. And God pulled that authority off of King Saul. So Samuel, the old prophet that God had, the preacher of the day, of the hour, he came into little David's life. God had told Samuel to go and anoint a new king. And so, you know the story there. Samuel comes in and he meets all the father's boys and he says, well, this is not the one that the Lord wants. And he asked David's father, he said, do you have any more? He said, yeah, I've got one young one. Said he's a ruddy little boy, but he's back keeping the sheep. Samuel said, go get him and bring him to me. So when Samuel seen David, he said, this is the king that God wants. And he anointed him as a young man as king of Israel. It reminds me today now as David is walking on this battlefield, this great giant, he comes and he exposes himself to the nation of Israel. We've heard it in our Sunday school lessons. Probably you know more about 1 Samuel 17 than any Bible story in your Bible. But we pick up now in verse 1, now the Philistines, they gather together their armies to battle. They were gathered together at Shock, and all Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, pitched by the valley of Elah, and they set the battle in array against the Philistines. Can I start this message this morning to remind you that it is a battle every day in our life? There is a battle between light and darkness. There is a battle between right and wrong. There is a battle between Satan and God. Therefore, we find the children of Israel, they've come and they found themselves on a battlefield. Don't think it's strange if you're struggling. Brother Eric sung that song, we all have great difficulties. I would love to say as a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus that I did not struggle in great giants of my life, but I too face giants in my life every day that I live because it is a great battlefield in the Christian's walk and the Christian's life. So this morning we find first of all about this giant. It may seem that it's a fairy tale, that it's just something that was wrote in the book, but can I tell you, there is the validity of the giant. The giant is real. Your giant may not be my giant, but everybody's giant here has a name. It could be discouragement. It could be addiction. It could be other people. Matter of fact, I notice there are some people in my life that become giants that I hate to face. I've noticed some things in my life that is a battle, and I hate to face these great giants in life. You know why? Because they're so much bigger than I am. And so here the validity of this giant. We notice first of all his existence in verse 4. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was 9 foot 9 inches tall. He was a specimen of a man. He had a helmet of brass on his head and he was armed. Notice this, he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass on his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, or 18 pounds, and one bearing a shield went before him. So he was a great specimen of a man. We're talking about this validity of this giant and his existence. Can I tell you, the giants still exist in this day and this hour. And not only his existence, but please note this in verse 4, you'll notice his experience. He is a champion by trade. The Bible said in verse 4, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistine. The devil has a lot of experience in what he's doing. He's been thrown out of heaven now thousands of years. Men, you've been walking here maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And so look what experience we've gathered in that time we walked in this world. But think about the experience that the giant of the devil has. The devil is more subtle than any beast of the field in which God created. So he is one of great existence, one of great experience. He's good at what he does. The reason I don't like to fool with sin, because sin will fool me. Sin is bigger than all of us here this morning. None of us are no match for sin. That's why God sent his Son to die on a cross, to take your sin and my sin. And in our daily walks in life, in these battlegrounds, there are giants that are so much bigger than we are. And this is what's an amazing thing. Your giant is probably not my giant. My giant may not be your giant. I face the giant of my mind. My mind loves to play tricks on me and gets me discouraged and defeated. And so we all face a lot of different giants, but we all have them. His existence, his experience. He's very good at what he does. The Bible said he was a champion. You know what that meant? It meant that he had won every battle he had ever faced. He was the champion. Nobody was better. But thirdly, not only his existence and his experience, but look at his expression. Did you notice that you don't have to look for the giants in life? They will appear in your pathway. The Bible simply said in verse number 8 this morning, the Bible said he stood and cried in the armies of Israel. That giant's got a big mouth. He loves to talk a lot to us. So the Bible tells us man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Young people, you don't have to go look for trouble. Trouble's going to look for you. On your best day, on your best behavior, there are giants that will appear in your life that call out to you. They challenge you. Well, do you think you can really just smoke one and not be addicted? Do you think you can just drink one and not be addicted? That giant will lie to you. But that giant of alcohol gets so big. The giant of drugs gets so big. The giant of sex gets so big. And immorality. And therefore, he paints a pretty picture like he did with Eve. You know, just a little will be okay. But all of a sudden, God come on the scene. And he simply wrote in our Bible, "Hath God said?" Y'all remember that sermon a few weeks ago? "Hath God said?" Well, what God has said is still right this morning. There's a lot of men trying to rewrite the Bible. They're trying to change. They're trying to justify what they're doing. But the Word of God keeps everything in balance. The Lord has said. And so we see here this morning on this validity of the giant, he's real, but then the vantage of the giant, he's bigger than we are. Now, verse number 4, he's big. He's a big opposition. I want to say not only is he big, he's very bad. He's won thousands and thousands of battles. He's very bold. He presents himself to you. You ever notice how a giant will present himself to you when you're minding your own business on the lawnmower? I don't know why it is, but when When I get on a lawnmower all by myself, that's when them giants start coming out of the woods. The giants in my mind, they jump astral that lawnmower. Scoot over, preacher. I need to ride with you a while. Lord, if y'all's my neighbors, you thought I was a madman. I go through the woods screaming sometimes. Sometimes folks think that's Miss Renee beating on the preacher, but it ain't. I'm just a screaming. Oh, God, help me. So he hunts us down, don't he? You can be driving down the car, mind your own business. All of a sudden, that rascal's sitting in there beside of you. And so we find out that he's big, he's bad, he's very bold. And I'm going to tell you, he's a great bully. He loves to bully people around. Matter of fact, he had done bullied the whole nation of Israel. Nobody would go out and face him. I mean, he was sitting there, come on out, get you some. Come on, get you some. They've cowered down. And little David comes in behind the scene. He said, what did he say out yonder? He said, David, come get you some. He said, well, why ain't y'all going doing business? He said, well, ain't you heard? He's huge. He's won every battle. And David said this phrase. He said, where's he at? They said, oh, he's in the valley. He said, he's been standing out there 40 days screaming, y'all come, I'm going to hand your head to your gods. David's elder brothers, three of them, was in the battle. They were squandered in the valley, and David's daddy had him to take bread and cheese to them in the battle. And as he come to bring them the cheese and bread that his daddy sent, he's seen all these people scared and all this commotion going on. He said, what's all this noise about? They told him. And then he said this statement. I'll go and fight him. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I want to share 3 points about this thought this morning. I'll be done preaching. I need to lay a little background before I get to, but first of all, I want to ask you something. Why would your giant be attacking you? Why would this giant be facing me? First of all, this giant wants the king. Can I tell you, when we got saved by the grace of God, there was a new king set up in our heart. And he is King Jesus. And this champion, this giant, come in simply because he wanted to be king. Can I tell you, the devil loves to be king. I sure am glad that the Bible teaches us he is the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's nobody like Him. There's nobody that can go up against our God, for He's greater, He's bigger. Our God knows everything from the beginning to the ending, from the ending back to the beginning. God knows everything. And the devil would love to defeat the King. You see, he don't want you to worship God. The Bible says that God seeks such as those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the last thing that my Goliath wants is that king sitting on the throne of my heart. Oh, there needs to be one king in our life. And that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's no doubt there are many people here saved. You've had an experience with salvation. You know that God has forgiven you of your sin debt, and you know that God has promised you a home in heaven. But I ask you this morning, I tell you one thing the devil really hates is when you've got God where God wants to be. He does not want God to be first. He does not want you to give the right of ways in your heart to Christ. He loves to come in and to try to take away the king. And you know, so many of these giants that I faced in my life, they're so good at getting the king. What are you saying? Well, there's times in my life when I faced these giants and I didn't defeat them. He's come in to take the king off of his throne in my life. that I may serve another king. That I may put God in the background and put this new king that's wanting to reign, this new king that's wanting to set up residence where he used to live. Matter of fact, let me tell you, the day I got saved, King Jesus came to live in my heart, and the devil's been upset with me ever since because he's no longer king and he wants to set up and be king in my heart and in my life. Who's your king this morning? Secondly, not only does this giant come and present himself on account of the king, but he simply comes and presents himself to steal the kingdom. The kingdom. You know, the devil don't mind you knowing that you're saved. He just don't want you living like it. And I believe there's a lot of people really confused about Bible salvation. I believe they believe in God and they think that's going to get them to heaven. That's not going to get you to heaven. The Bible said you must be born again. That there must have been something that happened the day that you believe the Spirit of God come and live in your life. Your sins have been done away with. You're a new creature in Christ. And there's a whole generation confused because they've got a head knowledge about God. The Bible said the devils in hell believe and tremble. The Bible said we must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you been brought in relationship with King Jesus, and are you operating in the kingdom? We understand this morning that the giants in our life, he wants us to give up the territory in the kingdom. I love walking with the Lord. I love being right with God, and there's nothing any more miserable for a saved man or woman that's saved, that God lives in them, and not be right with God. You say, well, how can that be? How can a man or woman be saved and God live in them and they not be right with God? Oh, it's not about relationship, it's about fellowship. The things that we allow to come in our life, the things that we put ahead of God, is what God is not pleased with. But the devil loves it. Now, watch this term right here, and I'm going to get back and close this sermon on how to defeat this giant. But I want you to understand this. The Goliaths, the giants, he wants to get that king and his throne threw down in our hearts, and then he wants the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. I want you to turn there with me this morning. Matthew 6:33. I want you to underline this in your Bible, and I want you to remember this. And if you will put this principle in your life, things will work out a whole lot better. Matthew 6:33. The giant wants the king. The giant wants the kingdom. Here's your verse. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Living right, doing right, being right. And all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. The last thing that the giant wants us to do is have the kingdom in its priority. The Bible teaches us that the New Testament church on Sunday, they assembled themselves on the Lord's Day. So it's biblical that in a kingdom perspective, God has to be in the right order. Sunday should not be an option of what you do with your family. Sunday shouldn't be an option of what you do with you. Your priority, if you are a child of God, supposed to be the house of God, where the saints of God assemble themselves together. He said, come out from this world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So, God's people, in seeking first the kingdom of God, you must have your priorities in order. And so, this great giant loves to get us messed up on the territory of the kingdom. And then secondly, he loves to get us messed up on the testimony of the kingdom. Let me tell you, we represent the church. We ought to act like the church. We ought to have the light turned on. We ought to be salt in this old world. But the average church, and some of you won't like this, but it doesn't matter. I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. The reason that churches have went to marketing, the churches have went to entertainment, they dropped preaching. But they turned the light shows on. They're doing everything else to draw, to appeal to people. And the church has never, ever intended to look like the world. I seen a man on social media this week, one of these new big mega churches, all their teens, Brother Adam, were in the sanctuary with their shirts off and their blue jeans, and they had letters, and they were acting like that they was there praising God. Somebody called them out, and so then others chimed in. This world is so confused about what Christianity is supposed to be. Do you hear me this morning? This world is confused. Jesus said, be a light shining on a hillside. Jesus said, clothe ourselves. Jesus said, present ourselves godly and decently. I'm not talking of preaching the law this morning. I'm just preaching on letting the church look like the church. We have folks that's so confused about ministry. I mean, they're wrestling headlocks on the stage in a pulpit. And saying, well, God's getting all the honor and the glory about this on the pulpit. Now, I know there are venues and sporting events you can go, and God can get the glory when He's put there. But that stuff don't belong in the church house. I've seen coon dogs in the church house. They don't belong in the church house. They belong out in the coon woods. Keep church, church. So, the giant, he loves to get the kingdom's territory, and he loves to get the kingdom's testimony. And then, thirdly, I can tell you really what this giant is about. He's wanting the king of your heart. He's wanting the kingdom. But I want to say this, and I want these mom and daddies to really listen to this last point. He wants your kids. How many kids was at this event? There's the nation of Israel. Somebody had to stand up. These little ones couldn't beat Goliath. I read something this morning in my study time, and I want to say this about our kids. Now I want you to look at this verse right here. It's a very weighty verse. Look at Numbers 14 and 18. Talking about him wanting the kids. Numbers 14 and 18. I'm about done preaching. Numbers 14, 18. Talking about this giant wants the king, wants the kingdom, and he wants the kids. I'm so glad we've got a young lady that can play the piano. I'm glad we've got young children that know what hymns and spiritual songs are. I'm glad we have young kids that know what a King James Bible is. I'm glad we have kids that know what the altar of prayer is. But somebody's got to show them. Somebody's got to bring them. Somebody's got to teach them. Now you look at this powerful verse, Numbers 14 and 18. I'm going to bring some light in on this, I hope so. Numbers 14 and 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. I sure am glad. I'm glad me and you didn't get justice. I'm glad we got mercy. There's an old boy went and he took pictures at a wedding. This woman thought a lot of herself. She is like a peacock. Pictures come back. She pressed up to him and said, "Sir, I had you to know your photography didn't do me justice." He said, "Honey, you don't need justice. You need mercy. You better know we don't need justice. We need mercy. The Lord's long-suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." You see this? Forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. Let me tell you, mom and daddies, there's a giant you must face. And if you don't get that giant killed while you're living, you're going to hand that giant off to another generation coming behind you. We better realize, honey, is there not a cause? And kill that giant while it's giant killing time. There's some things, if I allow to go on in my life, I don't get forgiveness and repent of, I'm going to hand that on down to a generation coming behind me. There's my four little grandbabies. Libby, Parker, Sophie, and Sailor Reese. There's some things in my life, if I don't get handled, if I don't get under the blood of Christ, I believe with all of my heart, I'll hand that iniquity down to that generation. And they'll fight the giants in their life that God intended on their granddaddy killing them. No, we just want to lay down, let Him take over. Let me ask y'all redneck folks something. If there's a fella come and knocks on your door, you answer the door. He said, "I come here to get your wife and your children." "You done what?" "I come to get all your stuff." "Well, why?" "Because I want it." Well, Lord, there'd be more shooting, cutting, stabbing, kicking, judo, karate, headlocks, and it ought to be. Not promoting violence, but you ought to stand up for your loved ones. But you know, when the giant hollers, the giant's wanting to steal the king and the kingdom from you, and you don't get that giant put in his place, don't you realize he's going to get your kids? I've never seen such a lackadaisical approach on a generation that seems like they're living in a fog. They're fogged out. You know, we used to hear, "Y'all smoked out." This generation's fogged out. They just sitting around like, "Well, we just go enjoy it." Don't you realize we're all going to meet God? Don't you realize that unless we raise our children up, they'll not know how to go to church? You going to rely on the school system to teach them something spiritual? Oh, you're going to rely on the ball coach to get them to heaven? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So how do I defeat this giant? He's big. He's big. How do I defeat him? What did David do? First of all, he faced the giant. You got to face it and realize it's bigger than you are. And you got to want to have help and victory Face Him! Don't run from Him, face Him! There's some people that's come in my life years ago. Great giants. It just disturbed me to see them. Not that I was angry and mad. I just can't experience. Maybe it's what they said, what they did. I'm prayed that I've got forgiveness right. But I've noticed this, Brother David, instead of really just wanting to face them, I just want to turn not fool with it. But I find then, my whole life, if I don't face that giant has pushed me plumb over yonder where everybody else was till David showed up. You've got to face your giant and say, listen, God, it's bigger than I am and I need some help. He faced his giant. Secondly, Brother Eric, I want you to come sing that song again. You must fight your giant. He simply said in 1 Samuel 17, verse number 32, he said this, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Thank God for people that will fight. God's people's been silent too long. We should stand up. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We must fight our giant. How do we fight this giant? On our knees. On our face before God. Getting in this Word of God. Getting our batteries charged and strengthened. Associating ourselves and being involved in the church. He faced his giant. He fought his giant. He practiced faith with his giant. But verse 33, this is what I need y'all to say this morning. David looked around. He said, is there not a cause? I know. And I want to thank you for this before you run talk about me. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for talking about me. That old-fashioned preacher, he just don't get it. Thank you. You paid me the greatest compliment. Because I don't get it. I tell you what I get. It's what God said. I get that. And it's hard to apply it in my life, but I get it. David looked around. Is there not a cause? And then David, he looked about. He said, you know, you are a big giant. But then lastly, David looked above. You know what he said? David quit staring at his giant. This is where I've had to get victory. And y'all listen to this old country preacher. I had to quit looking at my giant and get to looking above my giant. I said, God, I know you can do this. Addictions. People struggle. It's real deal. I have a very addictive personality. I can't just do something and leave it alone. I have to watch myself. I feel your pain with addictions. I don't throw people on the bus. I'm telling you, get to looking above you, John, and realize greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And He can break the yoke of bondage this morning. Some of you have a giant coming against your marriage. Things that are so large, quit looking at it and look above it and say, God, I know you can, and I need you to help me with this in my life. Liberty Baptist Church, I'm done. Is there not a cause? My brother's going to sing this morning. I wish some of you would gather your families around, gather around in the altar and just pray this morning and thank God. Some of you better be getting these giants seen about or you're going to hand them on down in the lineage. You better be getting their heads cut off while it's head cutting time this morning. Or you're going to hand to a generation the things that you battled with that you never would handle and take care of by the grace and the power of God. Do you hear me this morning? Mom and daddies, you hooked on pornography today. If you don't defeat this giant, you're going to hand it off in a lineage. If some of you don't defeat this alcohol demon, this drug, this immortality that's infiltrated your life, you better get it killed while it's killing time. Or you're going to hand off things when you leave here to another generation, and they're going to affect them the way it's affected you. But let me tell you, there's forgiveness and there's mercy under the blood of Calvary's cross. There is forgiveness at the feet of Jesus. I'm thankful. Things, you listen to me, things my forefathers didn't get killed in their life. When I come in this world, it was handed right into my lineage. I've had to battle them things all of my life. But thank God. Brother Bell, thank God ain't none of them got me this morning. I just keep a fighting them off. Oh, they keep coming and pushing. They want to take everything I got. But I says, they're not a cause. Your youngins come in the house of God. You ever notice how they grab a hold of you, preacher? You ever notice how they reach out to the men of God? Preaching don't bother them, just bothers you. Loud preaching don't bother young kids. You ever notice how nobody gets mad about a preacher preaching about tithing unless they ain't tithing? Brother Lee preached one of the greatest messages Wednesday. He encouraged my heart. I wish he was here. This is where we are. This is what he said. Them snowflakes have said this. We don't need farmers. We got grocery stores. We're living in a fog. There's got to be some people say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? It's up to you this morning. Whatever you need, my brother's going